And we'll continue our conversation here with Rick Pluta, and we'll change gears here to Medicaid expansion in Common Core. It's been kind of a staycation for the Michigan, for some members at least, of the Michigan legislature.
A few. I mean, right now the Capitol is actually undergoing renovation. If you drive by it, you can see the cranes that House and the Senate chambers have been stripped bare, and so we're not seeing a lot of them, you know, hanging out for the summer.
On Wednesday, though, you reported that Republican Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville wants a Medicaid expansion vote in his chamber in late August.
Mm-hmm.
The expansion needs more support from conservatives to survive. What kind of changes do the conservatives want?
Well, basically, anything that puts more of this back into the private sector. As a matter of fact, a Tea Party conservative, State Senator Patrick Colbeck, has not waited for the draft of the Medicaid bill. He's actually sponsoring his own legislation to put more people in Medicaid into private sector health plans, and sort of creating a registry rather than enrolling them. So that's supposed to be kind of a juxtaposition, an alternative to the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. And of course, even in late August is later than the governor wanted it. The House Speaker says that he thinks that there would still be a window to do all the things that you have to get done if it's all finalized in late August, early September. But remember, for this to work, the state has to start enrolling people. The coverage begins in January, but enrollment begins in October. And you've got to, you know, set up all the computer systems, create the software, get approval from the federal government for any waivers that you might need, and anything they do, you know, will require that the time is growing very, very short. As a matter of fact, the state is actually starting to consider delaying the start of the coverage, which matters to Michigan because we don't have to start covering more people on Medicaid on January 1st, but every month that we don't cover them is a month of federal federal government paying for it that's lost. That basically that 2-year period where the federal government pays for the whole thing becomes smaller and smaller and smaller.
Okay. The GOP majority House has already passed a Medicaid expansion measure to these Senate holdouts like Senator Colbeck. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that measure?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, there is a group of people, a group of conservative Republicans that are saying just no cooperation, no enactment of any aspect of the Affordable Care Act, no way, no how, just leave it all in the federal government and let it collapse under its own weight. That's what they're pushing for. And there are groups like Americans for Prosperity that are in there, trying to get them to adopt that. So there are some people who are just never going to take that walk.
Right.
Then there are other people who are saying, we want maybe a few more, free market, quote unquote, reforms in there. We want some more assurances about what might happen if the federal government doesn't grant waivers for, some of the things that we want to do, like after a period of time requiring co-pays or higher co-pays, things like that. And if the federal government just bails on us, then what might happen. So those are the things that the Senate Republicans are looking at. And, one of the things you also have to consider is that part of the political math on this relies on pretty much every Democrat supporting this. Is there a line that you cross where Democrats, at least some of them, start to say,
stop, this isn't worth it. Supporting the measure, absolutely. Mm. Let's shift gears to Common Core briefly. Is there a similar dynamic to the Common Core thing?
Mm-hmm.
This is some number of conservative Republicans.
Moderate Republicans and some conservative Republicans for it, and a group of basically Tea Party conservatives who are saying that even though it didn't come, you know, directly from the federal government, it is nevertheless nationalized education standards. Yeah. There are certainly parts of Race to the Top that rely on it, and you know, the state should not you know, fold to national education standards. Business groups are very frustrated by this because they like the fact that Michigan students will be compared apples to apples with students in other states as to how they're progressing and how they're learning. And that's basically the value of Common Core.
I've got to ask you about Republican Representative Tom McMillan of Farmington Hills. He gets a lot of coverage for his opposition to Common Core. At a House subcommittee hearing on Tuesday, he was overruled by the Republican chair after repeating questions a number of times to, I believe, State Superintendent Flanagan. He was he roundly criticized Common Core here on Current State a while back. How many others feel like Representative McMillan?
I don't know for sure how many others, you know, once it comes up for a vote on the floor of the State House, but certainly there are others, and this has become just another. It's a now classic confrontation, where you've got the business community on one side of a question, and Republicans are faced between being loyal to their business constituency or to their Tea Party, and that's the choice that they have to make.
Is the opposition to the Common Core standards coming from a lot of the same people who would argue for tougher teacher accountability?
Yes.
There is not there is some irony to that.
And what they would say is that Michigan can create its own teacher accountability rather than, you know, relying on, you know, on a nationalized standard. And of course, this is another one of those odd alliances, because there are also a lot of educators who are frustrated at having to teach to the test.
Okay. Rick Pluta, Michigan Public Radio Network, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Appreciate it.